Hachette Audio presents Engines of War, Book 3 of the Age of Uprising. Written by R.S. Ford. Read by Daniel Crespin, Kieran Sword, Mark Meadows, Katie Villa, Andrew Kingston, Alison Campbell, and Phoebe McIntosh.
Prologue. An unholy wind whipped down from the Dola Peaks as Gilbard stood at the summit of Wormhead, looking out at the vista. The cold air blew through his white and gold robes, but the old man had long since learned to ignore the discomfort. His joints would chide him for it later, despite his position as arch-legate, but age did not care for titles. From the top of the fortress, he could look out onto the northern extents of Torwin from Kalar's Fist, rising from amid the mountain range in the north, to the drift falling away in the west. South and east were miles of flat country, crisscrossed by winding rivers that fed each of the guild lands. Wormhead was at the apex, providing succor, both literal and spiritual, to the whole of Torwin. As Gilbard looked out over the white stone parapet, Tapfoot stalked toward him along the balustrade. The cat paused when she reached him, rubbing her head against his hand. Gilbard lifted her gently from the edge, cradling her against him and hearing her purr softly into his chest.
"How many times must I tell you?" he whispered. "There is much danger here. You must be more careful."
He turned from the balcony, making his way back inside the vestibule that was perched at the summit of the great tower. Inside, Ansel was waiting for him. The knight commander of the Drakes stood well over 6 feet, his dragon helm making him appear even taller. His armor was polished to a mirror sheen, surcoat bearing the symbol of the Draconate, a dragon rampant surrounded by 5 stars, each of a different hue. Gilbard might have been intimidated, but the Drakes were faithful servants of the Draconate ministry, raised from childhood to serve the arch-legate and his priests. Bowing his head, Ansel dropped to one knee as Gilbard approached.
"Arch-legate," he said, his deep voice made even more resonant from within the close-faced helm. "High Legate Egilrath is here to speak with you."
"Ah, yes," Gilbard replied. "Then I suppose we should get this over with. Send him in."
As Ansel left, Gilbard sat in one of the high-backed chairs beside the winnowing fire. He absently stroked Tapfoot's back, letting her gentle purring soothe him. For many months now, Egilrath had been visiting Wormhead. He had voiced his concerns ever louder and more frequently, entreating the arch-legate to act against the constant erosion of the ministry's powers. But what was Gilbard to do? The guilds ran Torwin now, their industry feeding its people and protecting its borders. The ministry's authority was waning, and there was little any of them could do about it.
"Arch-legate."
Gilbard turned to see Sancton Egilrath kneeling, head bowed. Ansel stood beside him, towering over the priest. A wicked thought entered Gilbard's head that it would have been so easy to have Ansel rid him of this troublesome upstart, but the notion was gone as soon as it came.
"Please, Sancton, take a seat," Gilbard said.
Egilrath rose, moving beside the fire.
"If you don't mind, I will stand. The ride north has left me somewhat sore about the buttocks."
Gilbard smirked. Pain in the buttocks was more than appropriate for a man so bothersome.
"Thank you, Ansel. You may leave."
"No, Archlegate," Sancton said. "Please, let him stay. There is nothing I have to say that a knight of the Draconate may not hear."
Gilbard shrugged.
Very well. What may I do for you this time?
Sancton smiled. His teeth were white, jaw square, hair thick and well-groomed. It made Gilbard all the more conscious of how old he was, of his own bald pate and the white of his beard. Sancton Egglerath was barely 30, and already he had gained the position of High Legate. It was unheard of in the annals of the Draconate Ministry. But then, Sancton was a testament to how far and how quickly an ambitious man could rise. He was popular among both the Legates and Drakes. Gilbard had been left with little choice but to approve the man's ordainment.
"Firstly, you might allow me to stoke this fire," Sancton said, approaching the hearth. "It's freezing in here."
He grabbed a poker, hitching up the red robes that marked him as an adherent of the great worm Undermeth, before he knelt by the fire and put some life back into the flames.
"I appreciate your concern, Sancton, but I doubt you've come all this way to see after my comfort."
"Indeed not," Sancton replied. He turned and fixed Gilbard with his usual serious visage.
"I assume you have heard about the impending arrival of an emissary from Malador."
Gilbard sighed, tousling Tapfoot's ears, trying to take comfort from the cat's purring.
"Of course."
"And?" Gilbard fought to keep himself calm. He had to show patience.
"And what, Sancton?"
"What do you intend to do about it? Malador is a threat to the freedom of all Torwin. Those demon worshippers want nothing less than the destruction of everything we have built. They will not stop until the kingdom is in flames and our idols consumed. And now Sullivar welcomes an emissary. It cannot stand."
"It can, and it will,"
Gilbard replied, keeping his voice calm and even in contrast with Sancton's ranting.
"Sullivar only wants peace, as do we all. Receiving an emissary is the first step toward that guarantee, the first step after 1,000 years.
"He is capitulating. We have faced a constant threat from the west. Our borders have been tested innumerable times. Malador is not our friend and never will be, no matter how many emissaries they send."
"I disagree," said Gilbard.
He stared at Sancton, as though willing him to defy the word of the Archlegate. The priest remained silent.
"A treaty is exactly what we need. The emissary does not represent the whole of Malador, only Nyrakis, a nation I believe wants peace."
"And Iperion Magna? You believe they want peace too?"
Gilbard shook his head.
"One thing at a time, Sancton. Once a treaty is signed with Nyrakis, Iperion Magna will surely follow."
"And you believe that?"
"I have had assurances from Sullivar himself. There is no reason to doubt him."
Sancton turned to stare into the flames that had now responded to his attentions. The flickering fire bestowed a devilish aspect to his handsome face. Tapfoot gave a low mewl, reminding Gilbard he had stopped stroking her.
"You know he has proclaimed himself Emperor," Sancton said, still staring into the fire. "His power grows while ours still dwindles."
"I have heard," Gilbard replied, his patience wearing thin.
"And that soon he will proclaim that the Guildlands are to be known as Princedoms. Princedoms, Gilbard, and he seated above them. What next? Are we to be renamed too? Cast out? Reduced to mere tokens?"
Gilbard rose to his feet, feeling a shooting pain in his knee, which he tried his best to ignore. He cradled Tapfoot in his arms, stroking her gently, reassuring her all the while.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?